I love not having to worry about 35 people. I was like the little old lady lived in the shoe. Mm-hmm. One of my kids got a scraped knee. The other one forgot their wig at home. And I could never just really concentrate on what I wanted to do, which was entertain.
I am on the prowl indeed. Welcome to Podcats. This is Cats, John Katsalamidis of the Las Vegas Review Journal. My column is called Cats, fittingly enough. Find it on page 3A every day and online all the time. Our guest this week is a strip headliner since 1985. First at Evening at La Cage at the Riviera and later in Divas Las Vegas at Link Hotel. His show was unceremoniously closed by Caesars Entertainment in June of 2018 amid a controversy centered on mismanagement of his relationship with Las Vegas charity Make-A-Wish of Southern Nevada. All sides have moved on since then, and Marino is now the permanent host of Legends in Concert, reviving his famous Joan Rivers portrayal. Legends is also a Las Vegas institution dating to 1983. I talked to Frank about his career, his show's closing, and his revival as a star on the Strip. Podcats with Frank Marino, my friend and brother. How's it going, sir?
It's going great.
Let's try to behave ourselves here.
That's right. We were just talking about when we tease each other. And
we have arguments. Yeah. It's always, it's like arguing with a family member. To me, probably to you, it's like arguing with a journalist.
When I argue with you, it's usually onto your answering machine, so I don't even get a response back, which is tough. So I keep going on and on and on. I'm just wondering if you fast forward or listen.
No, I listen to most. I can't save them all because it fills up my. You had one that was a good one minute and 45 seconds. It should have been recorded.
So what does that tell you? That I must really like you?
No,
because most people would be afraid to argue with you because you're a critic.
No. Oh, I don't know. No, you're comfortable enough to argue. And it's never like vicious.
No, but if I disagree with something, I tell you. And if you disagree, you tell me with texts.
Text.
I'm not good with texts. So
you know, the problem is I drive around so much, I can't always take a call for, you know, that's really important because I don't want to get involved in a conversation and I wind up in Laughlin, you know.
And if it's me and you got somebody in the car, you know, let's not even take it.
put you on.
You're like, did I write anything bad? No, he
put you on
be fine.
Speaker and I got my mom.
Frank, you're on speaker.
You remember Frank, don't you?
You won't forget him ever.
Yeah, right. So let's get to it, sir. You're in the Legends show.
I'm in Legends.
You are in Legends. You have gone from being a legend to in a legend, in the Legend show. Let's go. Let's cut to it. I'll ask a question you don't like right off the top why you got here, how Divas Las Vegas was cut from the link in the first place. How you, we don't have
straight
really,
to Final Jeopardy.
Straight to the it'll be like Pulp Fiction where the scenes are out of order. But I don't think we've ever actually gotten the real definitive account from you on the record about why that happened. A showman of 33 years all of a sudden without a show is a remarkable turn of events.
Well, I'm going to say what was written didn't happen. So I will tell you, and if I miss something, tell me. I will tell you my side of the story, I shall call it. I came into work one day and there was all of a sudden no cocktail waitresses. Well, how do I know that? Because I got a call from the booth saying we have to go on 15 minutes late. I'm like, why? And they're like, there's a line from the bar all the way wrapping around the stage. You can't open. They're in front of you. I go, why is there a line? There's no cocktail waitresses.
This is
tonight.
At the Link showroom.
I go, okay. So we went on 15 minutes late. And of course, afterwards, I'm like, where's our cocktail waitresses? Well, didn't get an answer. And just one day we had two, and then we had none. And then I just didn't understand what was going on.
Specific to cocktail waitresses.
This is the problem.
Okay.
Everyone got.
Right.
And nobody knew. So I was asking Andy, I'm like, what's going on? And you know me, I investigate. Nothing I couldn't find out. There was just one bartender. So whatever happened, they had cut the bartending staff down.
Okay.
And now there's one bartender making the drinks, which left the people serving cocktails having to take the drinks to the customer, ring it up, bring them their change, or whatever it is you do, okay?
Okay.
That being said, you know how these hotel rooms have these souvenir cups? The hotel showrooms have
them. They all have
them. So the souvenir cups is what caused this whole thing. The souvenir cups got reordered, whatever amount they ordered. This is what I got after time. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this all that day. And I'm making a number up. And I hate to speculate because that's what people did to me. But they took this cup and said, we just gave you 1,000 cups. How could you reorder them? It only looks like 300 was sold. This prompted an investigation inside my showroom.
Right.
Where Caesar's internal investigators came in to see what was going on. So they come into the showroom.
These are like people who are undercover coming to see your show.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, right. Like 17 times they came, apparently. This is what the investigator had said to me, okay? So I'm just going to tell you the story and throw numbers in, but I don't want to be held to account for the numbers. So he came in 17 times. As he came in to see these shows, what he did was notice my company manager of the time upgrading seats outside, which is what I did. I had these beautiful chairs mm-hmm. that if I didn't have guests coming in, I would have him go outside and talk to people. Look, these chairs just opened up. They're the most beautiful seats in the room. For 10, depending on where you're sitting, for $10 or $20, you can move up.
Mm-hmm. These are couch-like.
Right, like an lazy boy, yeah. I guess you would call mm-hmm. it, leather chair.
VIP.
Mm-hmm. VIP chairs. So I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty tough. You know what I'm saying? So if he came back and said nobody wanted them, I'd be like, you mean to tell me mm-hmm. somebody in the back didn't want to pay $10 to move all the way up to this great seat and have the best seat in the house? So I'm not. He probably got scared. You know what I'm saying? Probably got scared. And because of that, I can't say the name of a charity, but I'm going to say would use the name of a charity to upgrade the seats.
Yeah. Well, we know what the charity is.
Let's right. Say. But I can't say it. So you can say it all you want.
Okay. It's Make-A-Wish of Southern Nevada.
Right. So what happened was, he apparently was using their name to make it an easier sale.
Okay, now, we role play here. I'm that person. People come in, they pay for their tickets. Like, for another $20 that's going to the Make-A-Wish of Southern Nevada organization, you can sit in these VIP seats.
Probably. I'm not out there.
I mean, is that that's the...
So now, day one that it happened, I got a phone call from ticketing. Saying, is he supposed to be doing that? And we wrote back, no, he's not supposed to be doing that. Only thing that ever goes to Make-A-Wish is a portion of the proceeds I give them myself from my product. Okay, so we're all well and good. And I was like, are you sure he's doing that? So I had a meeting with him afterwards going, you can't do that. Larry's got fans that one of my employees has fans to go to them because his product, but not these seats. What are you doing? I tell you, like a pit bull with a bone, every day, even if he sold all 8, right? And he was all excited. I was like that person at the carnival that would pop the balloon and go, are you sure you didn't use any charity names? No, I swear. Every day.
Uh-huh.
Every day. Now, you would think I'm exaggerating to say this. And this was only a month between the first time and then when it ended. No, I'm not saying a charity name. No, I'm not saying a charity name. But thank God I had a million people around me that heard me saying that and actually thought I was obnoxious. Like, give the kid a break, you know? He's trying to make you happy and you're still pushing him down. Okay, so I don't think anything's going on. So cocktail waitresses are missing. Some of the box office staff starts to go missing. Some of the ushers start to go missing. And then the maitre d's vanished. So we're all doing this. We know nothing's going on. And I think it's business as usual. So the next thing you know is one day after my show, they said, Mr. Marino, can we talk to you about a few things? And there was Caesar's internal investigation. I said, of course, right? So they're talking to me. And they're asking me all these different questions. Nothing to do with anything we've talked about. Just general questions. What's this? What's that? How do you do this? How do you do that?
Right.
So they got the... said, do you work with Make-A-Wish? I go, yes. I go, I haven't really spoke to them in a long time. But a matter of fact, I tried to call them about 3 weeks ago and called 3 times and never got a call back. And they said to me, we told them not to call you back.
Well, there is your answer.
And I said, well, why? They said, because we thought you knew there was an investigation going on. And for that reason, you tried to call them. Now, I'm not thinking when I'm in the room and I'm like, okay. But what they meant was, or what I take later was, if there was any money that I needed to give them And they told them me not to call. They wouldn't let them answer my call. I think they obstructed justice. I was like, had I paid, I was giving this charity, when I would give them money for my product, I would give them $50 a week, $200 a month, $2,400 a year. Just for good karma, I'd love to do it, right? Gave them money. So it wasn't lots and lots and lots of money. And I'm like, so you mean to tell me, when this, now I'm going to tell you today, had I just, I should have just sent the check and not called, but I had a call because they moved locations. Now I'm remembering why I had a call. They moved locations. So I had a call to say, what's the process now? Da, 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 da. You know, when you roasted me, we gave, the money went to Make-A-Wish. They had little houses.
This was about.
I can't say it. The money went to the charity.
6 years ago at the Stratosphere.
Yes.
We had a roast of Frank Marino that was to benefit the Make-A-Wish of Southern Nevada. The whole thing was about that.
And they were there, right? And they had little houses, like those little nice boxes. And it's my favorite charity to this day. So I'm like, why would you tell them not to call me back? Because had I just, if they never moved and I mailed that check, none of this would have happened. But here's what happened. The guy was upgrading seats. I had no idea. When I was done with my little investigation, I saw they had pulled him in another room and he had signed a full confession.
Just like that?
Yes, which...
Now, I had, having seen your show many times, you would make an announcement at the end of the show that your money was going to go to...
Portion of my product.
Your merchandise
money.
Product. A portion of your product would go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yes.
The allegation was that it came out that no money had been going, according to Make-A-Wish.
And no, Make-A-Wish never said that.
Or according to... Well,
Caesars.
Caesars, I'm sorry. Caesars Entertainment, who owns the link, said that was the case. And that was why the show had to cease performing.
And since they've said a lot of things, but I'll hit one at a time.
Well, is that false? I mean, to my knowledge, there wasn't any...
How would they know? I'll be devil's advocate.
You.
They didn't investigate me writing a check.
Make-A-Wish.
They investigated my showroom.
If I'm investigating you and I talk to the hierarchy of Make-A-Wish of Southern Nevada and they say something like, you know, we haven't received any money from Frank Marino and he's saying that there's money coming from the stage, there is a wide chasm.
All right, let's have one of those brotherly fights.
Well, no, I'm just asking.
So,
didn't that happen? I mean, you spent several years
not delivering
any money to charity.
Do you think that if I called up and said, is Johnny Katz giving you money? They're going to be like, who are you? But long story short.
But it's not just Johnny.
Okay,
if you're just a concerned citizen, that would be one thing. But if you're an investigator for Caesars Entertainment, you're in contact with the charity and looking into all this, it would be beholden to tell the truth about that.
So let's say that was my plan and I knew this masterminded thing was going on, right? What, I can see you have a question.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
I don't think you had a master plan. I just think that there was some reason that there wasn't money being delivered from your show to Make-A-Wish.
From day one, when
whatever
we opened,
the reason.
From
the,
day, you know, they got a lot of money from me from day one on to your roast and all. Or do you not know that?
Yeah, I know. I know the roast money went to the charity, and I know from over time you do.
Every single year, I gave every single month, I gave the money. Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay. So whoever your contacts, I'll
here.
Let you know that. Okay. So you know they got my money.
They got money from you up until the roast, and they got money from you after you agreed to make nice with them after the show closed.
So
they got
happened.
A lot of money for that.
They called me up, and these little details.
They got more money than they would have.
They got more money than anybody would have gotten from me for the rest of my life.
So they got money.
A lot.
I'm just trying to figure out why it was that was tied into your show closing.
It had nothing to do with it. If Caesars Investigators didn't really have a second, what do you call it? An alternate option. What am I trying to say? A agenda.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they say, hey, we noticed this kid's outside doing these seats. Are you good with Make-A-Wish? Oh, let me check. Oh, nope. They didn't get it. Let's say this is what I was going to. And I would send them a check. Then it would all be over and we'd be good.
Their stated reason for closing the show and writing, their statement was that reason. And you
the day before, I believe your article said something else. What did it say?
No,
day
it said
one?
No. It said that it gave their account.
What did it say day one? I was on an airplane reading it.
It was the
mutually agreed.
Yes,
and then they changed their mind. So who
but
changed
you,
their mind?
But they made a statement independent of you. But you still said that you made nice. Your statement was very conciliatory. at the same time they issued theirs.
What does that mean?
That you were okay. You said, I lost track of my operations. We are going to make it right. I'm making it right. You offered to work with them again in writing in your statement. And they made their own statement saying that Frank was free and clear.
And everything's good. And that was the first week, right?
That happened at the same time.
That week, I came home.
Concurrently.
Yeah. So what happened was, what part was I up to?
Anyway, you talked about this.
But wait, I want to make this point because people are so confusing.
There's other agenda, which plays into what's going on now from Caesars Entertainment, having some reason to apparently want your show off the stage. It had, do you think, nothing to do with their reason that they gave?
What I think?
Yeah. Do you think that they had another?
There was another drag show shopping a show that had a TV show that opened last month, and they needed. If they were smart businessmen, they're probably going to say, "You have a drag show on your portfolio. We're not going to invest all this money." And I think they just tried to figure out a way to get me out because I was asked in meetings to see if I could change my show to be more like that television show. And I was like, well, that's a contest show. I don't know what I would do to do that.
They asked you about being a more of a RuPaul-like show or being involved in the RuPaul.
A drag race.
Okay.
And I'm going to make it clear right now. RuPaul and I are very good friends.
I've seen RuPaul at your show.
Yes. And what's and World of Wonder. I've worked with them. We've done TV shows. So I love all those people. I'm going to make sure they know there's no
animosity. Have you seen RuPaul yet?
No.
The show? The live show? Are you going to?
Well, I would love to go see him, but he's not in it.
No.
So...
Some of your cast.
If he was
one
in
of
it.
Your cast is in it. Derek is.
Yes, because through the years, some of my kids went on the show, and you know, that was good because then they come back.
He's
and work
in the
with
live
me.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to go and see it without RuPaul? Because he's not going to be in it anyway.
No. Because it's at a Caesar's property. I'm not going to go.
You won't go with me? I'll take you.
If you're paying, I'll go. That I changed my mind.
So. We're in where we are now, but you.
But let me clear this up. So
yeah,
I
be clear about that.
Make-A-Wish never. I've never talked to Make-A-Wish. Let me make that clear. I have never talked to Make-A-Wish. Then they had stories about gaming. Never been called even once by gaming. You have more information than I do because you got somebody to tell you we're done with the investigation.
Oh, the gaming control board
didn't even know
that. They did close their investigation with no announcement, which means to me. My interpretation of it was there was no punishment leveled against anybody.
Right.
And they didn't talk to you during at any point during the investigation or after.
Never.
And they were investigating
talked to them.
How this all played out at the link.
Right.
Okay.
I've never, ever gotten to speak with them.
So we never
spoke to Make-A-Wish, never spoke to gaming, never spoke to all these people that district attorneys. I don't even know what these people do, but all these names that I ended up learning, you know. Nothing. The only time I was talked to was the hour that I was with the investigator. And when I took 3 days off because I couldn't run my show when I found out I was being embezzled, it was my company manager, so I couldn't run the show. So I said, I have to take 3 days off. At the end of the 3 days off is when they said, we don't want to keep the show here.
That was when it happened.
And that was it. I never talked to anybody, never explained it to anybody. Nothing. And you would call me and I'd say, I don't know anything because nobody's actually really called me.
We are now, so as we are sitting here today, RuPaul has opened. It's a lavishly produced show, believe me. The set's $500,000.
Right. I heard the set's the star. Yeah, I would love to see that.
It's a thing. It's a very aggressive investment, we'll put it that way. It's well planned. Are you going to, aside from your position in Legends, are you planning on being the front man for another version of Divas full time in Las Vegas?
I kind of like this a lot, and I wasn't sure if I wouldn't like being an employee, being you know, my own boss for all those years.
You're talking about the Legend show.
Yes, but I got to be honest, I love it. I love not having to worry about 35 people. I was like the little old lady lived in the shoe. Mm-hmm. One of my kids got a scraped knee. The other one forgot their wig at home. And I could never just really concentrate on what I wanted to do, which was entertain. I would have never even thought of producing had I not had a 25-year-old show, Close Lacage at the Riviera, And we were all left outside. I wanted to come back. So that's
when you became the head of the whole operation. Yes. Was at that point. Because when you started, you were an employee.
I was an employee.
You're a well-paid employee.
A very well-paid
employee. Right.
And a very highly publicized contract, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. because back then you made a lot of money.
Yeah. You were at the Riviera, which was a river of right. molten gold in the 80s.
Yes,
yeah.
And people mm-hmm. would make fun of it. I'd be like, this show made me a millionaire. I don't, you know.
Uh-huh. I think people don't realize, as I talk to you, I'm reminded of it, what the Riviera was at the time you performed there.
It was amazing.
It was happening. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a jewel of the strip.
It was the first hotel, I believe, to have two shows in it. They had the Splash Show, mm-hmm. and La Cage was the first one, and it went in as the second. Now you go, every hotel in Vegas has 7 or 8 shows. It's mm-hmm. like, if there's a closet, there's a show in it.
The Mirage, I was just writing about the Mirage. It has 7 yes. shows. You just said it. But it had 2 hit shows that were mm-hmm. packed all the time. You couldn't do enough shows. Right. You were doing like 15 a week
We did. Okay. So we did 3 shows a night. And then it went to 6 nights a week. Then it went to 3 shows a night, 7 nights a week.
21 performances of Diva, of
a week,
Lacage.
No day off.
Wow.
We could thank the Rat Pack for that because they used to do these 3 little mini shows. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So
yeah, their shows were a lot shorter.
Yes.
A lot less involved.
And looking back, I don't know how I did it.
This episode of Podcats will be right back. We'll get you back to the show in about 30 seconds. But in that time, I'd like to check in, say thanks for listening, and ask for a favor. If you're enjoying this episode of Podcats, I want you to know we put out new episodes each and every Monday. Make sure you never miss an episode by tapping subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, or whatever the appropriate button is on any other podcasting platform. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review. We love reading the comments, and positive reviews really do help us reach new listeners. Thanks again, and now back to the show.
What do you prefer, Frank? Let me ask you this way. That era when you were a workhorse, but you were paid very handsomely, or now, where you at least you have a more sensible life?
Well,
but
not
a harder
because
hustle.
Of any show business, but I prefer back in the early 80s.
Why is that?
Because Vegas was small. If you were high roller, you walked into a hotel, they're like, hi, Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson. It was just nice. Mm-hmm. If you go to the older hotels, like we were at the Link, which was brand new and all set mm-hmm. for millennials. If I fell on the floor, they wouldn't even call a paramedic. But if I walked into Flamingo or to Harris, everybody's wavering from the stores or the pit bosses and stuff. So it would bring back those memories. And mm-hmm. it was a really nice time.
Yeah. Well, you were there as part of the renovation from Imperial Palace to Link.
Right. So then I came to Imperial Palace, mm-hmm. which I loved. It was great for my clientele. Then they went to Quad.
Yeah.
Then they went to Link.
Right.
I mean, the money I spent in change of address stamps alone, everybody should be happy with me.
Let's talk about the Legends show. I thought that the... You know, I was asking you about this in real time. Like, why don't you push to make this a permanent thing? Because it's such a natural fit for now, for you, for them.
Right.
And you retired the Rivers role in a very public mm-hmm. way, wig away.
Right,
pack
right,
it up,
right. And then we brought it back because it's a legend show.
Yeah. set me through how this all came about because you guys were so closely aligned for so long, but never did connect.
Well, I always had a show and they always had their show. Mm-hmm. And we thought, let's put them together. You know, let me come in. If I had time off, let me come in and play. You know what I'm saying? So when we had that opportunity, Mark called and said, you want to come do a season?
Mark Mercer of Legends, yes, uh-huh. company manager.
So I said, yes. He goes, all right, let me talk to the people involved. And he talked. And it was only 3 months. So I didn't know, am I going to like it, not like it? And I had my fears. But it worked out perfect.
What were your fears?
My fears were like, am I going to want to take direction? Am I going to? But I like somebody else at the wheel.
Have they given you direction? Have they really come
very
in?
Very little, just really.
You've done a few shows.
Yeah, they're really very little. I don't. There must have been maybe 1 or 2 little things, but I don't even remember what they are actually. So,
what is your feeling, Frank, about because you've done the Rivers shtick so much, you know, and it's kind of like the rote caricature of her. You're acting as her essentially. Do you have license to upgrade the material through that character on your own? Like, if you want to start making jokes about what, like, the political campaign, the presidential campaign as Joan Rivers, would you just be able to do that, or would you have to go through Mark and some of the creative to work that out?
They let me say what I want, and if I guess if it's something they don't like, they'll tell me. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, at first they were a little worried about my risque humor. So they weren't sure, but now it's like, oh yeah, tell Bor. Because I do ask the audience every night going, listen, I know they're a family show. Me coming in here, it's like a dysfunctional family show. Is that okay? And the audience likes it. And then we realized it's Las Vegas, of course. It's not like we're going to church. We're going to a show, a lookalike show that has a drag queen in it, has showgirls in it, has everything. And it's Las Vegas. So we know really what we're going to get.
I've heard you use that dysfunctional family show thing. And when you say it, I see it on a billboard.
Dysfunctional family show.
Yeah. It's your own blurb.
Because they were very, very, very conservative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And people I just think that about them.
Yeah.
Spiced it up a little bit.
Are you going to be on performing at any of their touring shows or any of their like shows in Biloxi or around the country?
I'm begging to go to Foxwoods.
Yeah?
Because it's so close to New York and my home. Mm. I'm like, I will pack the place just on family members.
Yeah.
Some of my family's a little bit too old to travel. They can never see me. But I'm like, if I could get that close, they probably could.
That casino, I think I've heard this, it's the biggest casino actual property in the world.
Is
it's
it?
Like a mile across or something.
Really?
Yeah, our friend Felix Rappaport used to run
That's
the Foxwoods.
That's right,
Yes.
Before he passed.
Yes, and that, when he was there, a lot of Vegas acts started coming, mm-hmm. and he used to run the Luxor.
And I had my own meeting with them for Divas. It was a great meeting, mm-hmm. but we never also could work it out. So Legends goes there every year, and I'm like, I would really love to do it if we could.
So it sounds to me like Frank Marino is going to be with Legends for the foreseeable future. Is that
I signed a 2-year contract with Legends, so for sure 2 years, but I didn't sign it until we talked about my Divas.
And what happens now with you
personally? So what I want to do, you know, these brunches are very famous, mm-hmm. you know, all over town, drag queen brunches. I want to do maybe a brunch with them through Legends. I want to do maybe – they do a lot of road shows, way more than we ever did. Maybe book the Divas without me, you know, make my understudy do the show and let them go on the road. And that's extra ways for me and them to make some money. So we can do that. But I wanted to make sure I wasn't they're all taken care of. They're good. But I didn't want to leave them behind. I wanted to – they still want to be on the strip. So if we could work something, that'll be good.
Who's your understudy?
Coco Vega I use from the show.
Okay. And you, it sounds like, would you at all perform in the context of Divas at any point?
Well, I'm performing.
I mean,
I'm going to be at the Italian American Club.
You're
doing a Divas reunion this February 16th in 2 weeks. So I'm excited about that.
Right.
I'm excited to work with them again. And then I come back to Legends for 2 weeks and I go to a tour with them in Florida. So I'm touring with the Divas throughout Florida.
So you're busier now than you were when you were doing full time.
Yes, and I just
Link,
was
right?
in Dubai, as you know. And
tell me about the Dubai thing. I'm curious about this.
Well, I came back
Frank
and my head's still
Dubai.
On.
Yeah?
You know, I was very scared. Caroline Sansbury from The Ladies of London, which
Ladies
is like a housewife show, but it's at a mansion. They have castles.
Yeah.
Her husband's a dignitary, is that what you call it? And they moved to Dubai, and she came to do another TV show with me at my home. And we just hit it off, you know. And she said, you need to come to Dubai. We should do a show, blah, 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 blah. So I get it. Well, she flew back another time after that. And I'm like, I it's really too hard. You know, I got to bring all this stuff, da, 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 da. And they offered crazy money. And that's sort of making me think.
Mm-hmm.
Then I find out cross-dressing is illegal.
Yes.
In Dubai.
I think you told me this.
here's the argument they use with everybody. You go to see a movie that has murder in it. Murder is illegal. This is just a production play of somebody doing that, like Shakespeare would not let women.
You could pass it off as a version of musical theater or something like that.
So I went and did my own show as myself and hosted this big thing. It was like producers and directors from all over the world. I didn't even know they were producers and directors over there. But the only person that has a show there now is Dragon.
Yes.
And
okay,
they're getting gambling in 2 years. And it's the right time, and it's like early Vegas.
Wow, that'll be like when Macau got gambling, right?
I guess
that's Franco Dragon who did he started Bellagio. He designed Owen
and
Larev.
This place, mm-hmm. Dubai, is perfect,
yeah.
Except at night, there's only one show. So there's nothing else to really do. So I think it's going to eventually have lots of shows and be the next mm-hmm. Las Vegas, but I would love. I was afraid to go over there, but I loved it. It was like one of the best places I've ever been.
Doesn't Caesars have a property over there?
Yes, they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, they do. There's some acts that have been going on.
I didn't go into
the
that
Blue
one.
Waters. Yeah, I know. Sorry. I forget. But the Blue Waters, it's called Blue Waters.
Right, and they're probably just trying to get in ahead of the gambling.
And they've rolled some acts from that company over there, too. So, so I guess keep your eye on Dubai, huh? Right?
It's definitely good. This will be good to think of a psychic. It will definitely be the next Vegas.
If you were a psychic, you'd be working at Cleopatra's Barge, but that's a whole nother show. the Legend show is you mentioned your kind of risque humor. They're moving the show in a more adult direction, right? With the showgirls.
But still keeping it classy as you saw the rehearsals.
Right. It'd be like the covered version of Jubilee, maybe.
Yes. And they're going to get a little skimpier than usual, but again, it's Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems
like... And baby
like-
steps, right? You come in, you give your opinions and stuff to a new producer. The people who are producing already also want to go in that direction. So they're going to go slow, but they're going to get to a place where they feel the level's good.
Right. Your character's going to be still introduced as Joan Rivers, or is it going to be implied
that it's
Joan?
Because it's Legends, and I will only do Joan in Legends. You know what I'm saying? I prefer doing myself in drag, much like RuPaul's just RuPaul for music. I would just like to be.
Because you
Fran
have
Reno.
A version of that that's not Joan Rivers. It's just the drag.
Which honestly, I prefer.
Diva. Yeah.
Like people always want to hire me to be on a red carpet and ask what people are wearing at conventions and stuff. And I feel like a fool because I know I'm not Joan Rivers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then what kind of response are you going to get out of context like that when somebody
people
comes
look
down
at you like you're crazy?
Like what is this?
Because they're not celebrities and they're not wearing the best outfit, you know. And it's hard when you go, "What are you wearing?" And they go, "Target."
They have to check the tag, right?
Exactly.
You brought up wanting to play at Foxwoods because it's close to your family, and it reminded me of your mom, Mary, who. I got to know when you were over at Link, especially. I think I even met her at the before at the Riviera. I knew her by the time you opened. What do you think? You know, she passed away a couple years, 3 years ago or so.
Yes,
about. It's a wonderful woman. How do you think she would view your career path right now? I mean, she was super proud of you with the Link days.
I thank God she had passed before my scandal happened because that would have killed her anyway.
Oof.
But she loved the whole showbiz thing, the glitter thing. Did she not look like me? She normally looked like me in drag.
I was stunned to know that you were adopted and you found her later in life. That happened.
And,
I was stunned when I heard that.
If we put 100 women in this room and she was one, would you just directly go over to her?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I knew she was your mom instinctively. It was incredible. I don't know how that happened, but she had more
nails, jewelry, glitter than I could ever think of.
She was so present, you know?
Which is really very funny. Don't you know, you say nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe I got like my morals and the way I would do things from my family who raised me. But some things are just inbred. I mean, we're too similar. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? She wore a dress to my brother's wedding that I own. Is that sick? How many sons could say that?
I think that character would be a good one to tap into, her personality, you know, as an alternate character, thinking about her now. But she was a really cool
typical
person.
Typical Brooklyn, like she should be on The Nanny Show.
Absolutely. Absolutely would have been a sitcom.
All the jewelry, you know, with the name. They all wear the name because I guess in New York, if you get your name, you could just look.
when you were talking about doing a reality show at some point or another, was she involved in that? She was
in a couple of my reality shows that we did.
The Zipper.
And right before we closed, you know, you were at my house for that. Do you want to mention that I saved your life?
Oh, yeah. You did save my life.
I'm very crazy.
Was she there that? No.
No,
she wasn't.
We were filming Last Laugh in Vegas, which was a British reality show.
Yes.
And I was throwing the party at my house, and you were there.
I was there.
And I was saying how hard you work. I can't believe, how do you keep it straight? And you had all the from the events on your arm.
I was wearing my wristbands from the previous 2 days.
Horrible October 1 happened.
This was October 1st, 2017, I walked into that event. I happened to walk in with Oscar Goodman.
Yeah, the mayor.
And the mayor. We had all the celebs. We're in Earl and Clint and, you know, guys like Murray and all the collection of the British performers who were trying to get their careers regenerated. Yes. Andy Walmsley's working on it. And Yeah, and you said, and this party was going on so long that I was supposed to be at the festival that night. That was the night of the shooting. And I always go, and I went the night before, and you said, where are you going to go next? And I showed you. I don't know. I'm not
wearing
it.
Yeah, you got one on now.
Friendship bracelets. I've cleaned them off since, but I was wearing the Route 91 one, the press pass.
You had like a stack, like they were
bangle
bracelets.
Yeah, there were six or seven, yeah. I had my ankle bracelet on, too, on my ankle. And I did say, I said, I'm trying to get down to Route 91, but I don't think I'm going to make it if this party doesn't end. And it didn't end until a lot later because we did they played Viva Las Vegas on the piano and we got video of that.
That's right.
It was a great party. Mm-hmm. It was a great event.
And then I did leave and go to work, but I guess because the party was so much fun, you stayed a little bit too long.
It was nightfall. Yeah, you had to go. Yeah, I think we still hung out. I don't know who locked up the
And I'm very glad you did not go to that event to have to go through that kind
of trauma.
But,
you know, I did write about that a few days later that, you know, it was such a juxtaposition of this tragedy, but we were still celebrating Las Vegas even as that was all
and
about
to
play
out. And we had to figure out on the reality show, what do we do?
Yeah, what did you do about that?
And I'm going to tell you, I went to work the night when it happened, and the next night they asked if we take off.
Yeah, everybody
took off. I fought it, and I'm going to tell you why. I wanted to go to work. This town was so somber. The people that had flew here, it was sad already. Why are we not performing and maybe give them free tickets to come? All of a sudden everything was gloomy to make them laugh and maybe for 5 seconds forget what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Broadway did the same thing after 9/11. And I also thought, I mean,
I think we did too.
Yeah. If 9/11. It was just 5 minutes. That you could give somebody get their mind off of this craziness that just happened, I thought we should have done the show. But they asked, you could make your own decision, they said, but we're asking you not to. And for that reason, I didn't.
Yeah, it was a big debate. And it was very quickly arrived at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't have much time to make that decision. So, you know, you didn't have, it's not like you can go back and edit it.
And they thought I would look bad. And again, no offense. They always had an opinion of how I was going to look when really it was how they were going to look. Mm-hmm. So that's my...
Well, I think that's an understandable position to take as a company, you know. But The Last Laugh in Vegas eventually aired in the next spring or so, right?
Yes, it did very well.
Yeah. Eight episodes, is that what it was?
Yes, and can I tell you what boosted the ratings? Was what? My hair.
Your hair.
I told one of the gentlemen, it was very hard for me to be mean to anybody and say, you need to do this, your act stinks at it. But that was the part they gave me. So I'll tell you a little behind the scenes secret. I couldn't say anything bad about these people because I felt, who was I to judge them? That the producers would ask my partner, Alex, a question. Mm-hmm. And he would answer it the way they wanted it to be. And then I would have to... I would just parrot what he said. Oh, that's an ugly dress.
That's kind of how you guys
so
are.
So is that a funny
anyway.
Story? Well, yeah. Most people think I was the nasty one, right?
Yeah. No. I have to find this. I never did see the final product, but that was a remarkable day. I'll never forget that day when we were all around the piano, especially, and those guys were playing
with all those celebrities.
It was wild. Yeah, and they were so
people
happy
from American
to be here.
Idol. Oh yeah, what's her name? Jasmine Trias.
Yeah, Jazz was there. Yeah,
it was big star. I can't even think. Everybody.
Everybody was there. Yeah, I know everybody that was could be available. I was there with Robin Leach.
Yes.
Was there with us. Yeah, it was a great day. And Frank, I just want to tell you, we're nothing but the best success.
Thank you. I appreciate
Seriously.
Everything. I just want to close with one thing.
Close.
I want to just say, I have never taken a penny from anybody that I didn't think, if I said it was going to a charity, that I didn't think it was going to a charity. It's got many tentacles, my story, and you can read it in different magazines. But what happened to me, I was railroaded into. I believe it was a conspiracy. Maybe. And at first I didn't think so because my ego wouldn't let me believe that. What do you mean they didn't want me? You know what I'm saying? But when I had to think about it, and yet never did anybody write about, the investigation was not on me. It was on the cocktail waitresses. Nobody talked about, I'm not the only person that owned my company. A lot of people didn't talk about a lot of things. And I went out there, made it right when I found out what was going on. And just so you know, there was a couple of year period where nothing was sold product-wise. I was told by the charity I could not give them checks anymore. I would have to do contracts. And I said, this is like 3-4 years ago, I'm going to stop giving the donations now because it's hard enough for me to have time to write these checks through my bookkeepers and put them in and everything. Well, if you don't want them that way, I don't really have time. I'm going to sit out for a little while. So I sat out for a little while. Then they switched me to brunch shows. I don't know if you remember. I had some daytime shows and some nighttime.
Yeah. You had a weird schedule.
At that time, I'm like, it's hot. Maybe we should do these fans again. And that's where my mistake came in.
Two things then. You say you weren't the only person who owned your company. Who else owns your company?
Well, I don't want to get anybody else in as much trouble as I got in, but they only went to me. And another thing was when this kid was doing it, he confessed, and I let you read that internal investigation paper.
Yeah.
They still wanted it to be me because if I wasn't the bad guy, I might turn around and have a problem with wrongful termination. So it just kept coming that and Facebook, let me tell you, social media is not your friend because people who shouldn't have a voice now have a voice and they just randomly say what they want. I cried to you many times going, bloggers, what, like I didn't understand what they were allowed to do and I would ask you questions and you weren't in that world so you didn't know. They could say I robbed a bank, I shot somebody, and nobody's going to do anything about it. Bloggers, people will comment nasty comments about it.
Yeah, bloggers fall under libel laws. I mean, that's just a fact. So I do
know. And there, I'm not saying there won't be one in the future, but I was really being moved and told what to do by many people.
And are you going to be active in the charity world from here forward?
No, you partner but I will recommend everybody donate to charities or donate their time. And I'm going to say literally, and I think you'll know this, in the 35 years I'm here, I have either performed at, donated tickets at, or gave money to most all the charities here in town at different times.
Well, you were at the Black and White this year, AFAN, right? Was it last year's Black and White?
Yes, and it was kind of crazy too because I was at the Black and White and for some reason my best friend runs it and had an issue with me and it's always something in my life. And
you were there to support AFAN.
I was there to support AFAN, yeah. Well, I was there to support Legends, AFAN always from day one, but Legends and Human Nature were playing. So my part in the show and the new show I was going into. And I looked like a fool when they said I could not come backstage. And a security guard was so embarrassed. He came over to me. He said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Marino. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding. He was serious and showed me on his phone pictures that they had sent him of what I would look like so that I wouldn't come backstage. To this day, I have no idea. I wish one day you could get an interview with him and find out what it was because I've tried every avenue there is and I have not found out.
I know as a statement of fact, it wasn't planned for you to be on there. So that could have been it. There was no plan for you to be involved in the formal presentation.
No. What happened was early in the day, they went to rehearsals and said, can Frank introduce the acts? And they said, no, it's all set. And then I said, okay. So I just went to support. And then we were all walking backstage and I was told I couldn't go backstage. Everybody else could. They weren't on the show either, but I was the only one.
Those two weren't tied in. The fact that you couldn't be on stage meant you couldn't be backstage either. I don't know how that works.
No, because Alex wasn't on stage and he walked backstage, and Mark wasn't on stage and he walked backstage. I was with them. And I kept it low key. I didn't want to look like a fool. But did you ever get to speak to that person?
I will tell you that I got the same explanation you probably did. So
I didn't get an explanation.
That it wasn't planned. It wasn't part of the program, so they didn't want. But I didn't know the stuff that happened backstage. I thought it was on stage. I thought the problem was on
during
stage.
During the rehearsal, during the day, Mark Mercer asked if I could bring Legends on, and they said, no, it's all. And
they mentioned you from the stage.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But he's like, it's all set. We can't do it. He goes, but I'm seeing you sitting here rewriting everything for everybody. What do you mean? What's the difference if this person brings them on or Frank brings them on? But me and my best friend had a blowout argument over I don't know what, okay? I swear to you, I have no idea. And it can't be anything about my scandal because last year I was sitting with you at the Black and White Ball outside at the pool, Mandalay Bay, and he gave me the best seat in the house. So if they try to turn it and say, oh, because we didn't know where he was with the charity scandal, no, that's bull. It's because you had this much control and you wanted to use it.
So I'd forgotten about the year before, we were out at the.
So I want to know what excuse he could possibly have except the argument we had, which I have no idea what it is, but I've stopped asking.
All right. Very good. What else? Anything else you want to get off
your
chest?
Let's end on a happy note. I love being here at Legends in Concert.
They love having you.
We have the Italian American Club Divas Reunion and my tour in Florida. I'm excited about. And then I come back full-time Legends,
full-time
2 years. And then to answer your early question, yes. At that point, I will bring Divas back, hopefully with some of the cast that I had, otherwise with a brand new cast.
All right. Well, we'll be there for all of it.
Thank you.
I promise you that. Thank you, FM.
Thank
you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks once more to Frank Marino for joining us this week on Podcats. As always, we'll be back next Monday and every Monday, so be sure to subscribe to the show where you're listening. What is happening in the column, you might be asking yourselves? Well, Barry Manilow missed Thursday night's performance at Westgate Las Vegas because of illness. He was to return to his usual schedule at International Theatre, running Thursdays through Saturdays. The Doobie Brothers also called off 6 sold-out shows in February at Venetian Theatre and are making those shows up in November. Vinny Guadagnino is returning as co-host to Chippendales at the Rio. Guadagnino is the co-star of Jersey Shore and Double Shot at Love. He's in for his 3rd stint as stunt host from April 24th through June 7th. Vinny G, as he is known, is featured in a shower scene where he is indeed fully naked. Morrissey has announced a 5-show series at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace from June 26th through July 4th. The former frontman of the Smiths promises this series is sure to be life-changing and not to be missed. Morrissey also headlined a theater run on Broadway in May, and this show at the Coliseum sounds a lot like that one. Video has surfaced of the aerialist who fell during the finale of Love on February 16th. The artist has suffered arm and back injuries along with some internal injuries, but he is expected to return to the show. In the meantime, OSHA is investigating the incident. Neil Diamond is to be honored at the Keep Memory Alive Power of Love Gala on March 7th at MGM Grand Garden Arena. Sammy Hagar, Tony Braxton, Chris Isaak, and Billy Ray Cyrus are among the artists set to perform that night. The evening also honors Sheldon and Dr. Miriam Adelson, whose family owns the Review Journal. The event is again a fundraiser for the Cleveland Clinic Lou Ruvo Center for Brain Health. For all that and more, read Cats. That closes out another episode of Podcats. Thank you, Frankie Moreno, for our theme song, The Biggest Cat in Town. Keep up with me or try to on the Review Journal website or at Johnny Katz on Twitter, JohnnyKatz1 on Instagram, and tune in next Monday to the next installment of Podcats. And I'm the biggest cat in town.